It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. It's a special weekend. Richmond got a quote-unquote win. The draft went well for my Tennessee Titans. And I'm about to get a new car. So it's an overall win. Also joining me the show is Matt and Janair. How are you guys doing?
I mean, I'm not spending the time you're currently spending.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm ball going all out, man. I'm getting a new car because the Equinox finally died out on me.
I thought you were really excited about, you know, Jaeger Cup.
I was. It's like, worked over the week trying to get it up on football, which is now on football. So the full cup and the logo is on there.
I figured you're fully, you know, embracing it and then therefore making bad decisions, you know, alongside. It's like, I'm pregame. Yeah, let's get a car. We should do that.
Yeah. That was the decision making. I found an old bottle of Jaeger in my house. I think it's like pre-COVID. So it's been sitting there for a minute. I had that thing 30 minutes spinning. this ain't it. Man, I saw you put out the tweet there of like, was everyone's favorite Jaeger bomb memory that they can somewhat remember?
Or been told happened, or...
Did you get any interesting stories off of that?
There are a couple, yeah. Let me pull them up. I mean, as you can imagine, everybody's finest decisions come from that, in particular. What do we got on here? Yeah, I mean, some typical like college type, you know, stuff about, oh, got hammered on Jaeger, and, you know, 2 days later, weird stuff was going on.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, so there's one really intriguing one. One guy who apparently was, in the Army, and there's a guy who that was his nickname, and getting him lost in the woods and therefore not the popular guy. as we come back, again, a lot of them are fully related, college related. And, probably, if I had to guess, pre-25 years old related.
Yeah. I think so. When's the last time either one of y'all have had a Jaeger bomb?
Probably high school.
I had my first and only Jaeger bomb when I was 26. I mean, Brent, I went to HBU, so we weren't drinking Jaeger like that. Like, it was Hennessy and Ciroc. Like, we were making Incredible Hulks all the time. It was Incredible Hulks, Mad Dog. I hit the mic. Sorry about that. It was Incredible Hulks, Mad Dog 2020. Y'all remember Roses? Sorry about the camera. This is adult apple juice. Don't drink this until you're 21. It was like bad malt liquor. Like bad. And I had four loaves before they fixed the recipe.
Is that like the like malt liquor equivalent of you getting, you know, any other kind of liquor in like a plastic jug when you're in college because it's like $2 and
pretty much
like, tastes like fire and paint thinner, but hey, it's $2.
Right. Like I remember my first alcohol beverage was Burnett's. It's like bottom shelf vodka. Tore my stomach off for like a week. Tore my stomach off for a week. But yeah, that's enough about pre-drinking day parties. Drink responsibly. Remember that. But yeah. First game in the USL Jägermeister Cup. You had us playing going down to Greenville Triumph. They were debuting their new, what is it, lilac? Or what, a purple, light purple jerseys?
I'm sure they probably have some clever name for it. Yeah, like lavender, light purplish.
Purple, whatever. Yeah, so they debuted those jerseys. And so before the game, I did a live where I was talking about how would Darren approach this game, given the injuries and whatnot, and the vagueness of who's coming back, when they're coming back. You know, we saw guy on the bench. We saw, the same back four from last week's game. Sarakowski up top, no Boshua. Neil kind of right behind him as, like, a floating 10. And Sarakowski and Chandler start on the wings, right?
You mean Suko, but yeah.
Yeah, Suko, my fault. So, with that, I think everyone's initial thought was, well, we just out here trying. Like, it was a class participation. That's what it felt like. And then the game started, and they were like, oh, we're getting some of this. How did you guys perceive the lineup versus what you saw maybe, like, the first 30, 40 minutes of the game?
I mean, much like you, when I first saw the lineup before the game, I looked at it like, okay, we're just going to try our best. We're going to see what we can get out of this. I mean, we're playing for pride. We're going to see what we can do against the leader of the league. We'll see what happens. But as the game started, it looked like we were trying to take the front foot from jump. And that's what intrigued me the most. I was very intrigued with that and I thought to myself, okay, we might have a chance here. And in my head I'm thinking it's like we might have a chance until they score the first goal. But it never came. It never came, and there was I mean, they pushed back. I must admit they pushed back. They had chances. We had chances. It was very evenly matched in terms of the amount of chances that, you know, were quality chances, I should say. So it was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple things. Like, I was glad to see, you know, Shello get another run out there, you know, in goal. Looked, you know, good in the Open Cup game against Loudon. Felt like, all right, let's, you know, see what he's got again. So I'm guessing he's probably going to be the cup keeper. You know, until proven otherwise. So that was nice. Part of me was, you know, thinking, okay, I wouldn't mind seeing some more experiments. Then I kind of stopped and thought about it. Like, there's literally no room to experiment, you know, much otherwise.
We're already in that phase. We're experimental stuff, like hypothesis and all that stuff. We're like independent variables now. That's where we're at.
Okay, nerd, but we're recording this on the weekend. We're not talking smart stuff right now. But one thing, you know, a couple other things, you know, I did like, you know, and this is, you know, just the pregame look and guesswork of what we thought it was going to look like. I liked, you know, Sierkowski in the middle. Yeah. I've mentioned that a couple, you know, other times. I feel like he looks like he's more comfortable, you know, playing there than out on the wing. Suko and, you know, Chandler. I'm surprised it looks like Chandler's playing more on the right side, you know, this time, but I guess that's 6-1, half dozen another. So those were, you know, kind of the two big points. The Ryan S. bookends, who were probably also the two of the three best players on the field, yeah, throughout the game. One more thing to throw out there. I mean, Elliot, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I'm absolutely throwing you under the bus here.
How many times
are we gonna, go through this with never believe the graphical lineups? It's not a 4-4-2. It is never gonna be a 4-4-2.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I started watching the game and I was like, oh, did you? This is not the 4-4-2. I don't know who ever thought this was. But to that point, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I think a big reason why, like, I don't know if y'all saw this the same way, but it seemed like Greenville was like really caught off guard a lot of what we were doing, is because it didn't feel like we had like a true focal point up top. And I say that in the sense of like, if it was Boshua, you know, like Greenville center backs would be like, all right, cool, it's Boshua or it's Emmy. We know we can tag one person on that. But what it seemed like, it was like sometimes you'll see O'Neal up top, then it was Sarakowski. Then like Suko had like a long period of time, but he had a moment where he was up there. Then Dwight, like, it just seemed like it was kind of rotating amongst that. And it never would seem like Greenville could pinpoint one person and kind of like shut down the service in a sense. And it seemed like Richmond was just able to get and create a lot of chaos in Greenville's half off of that.
Yeah, I think Ryan being up there, he's a lot more mobile. Like, he's still a big boy. Like, if you want to, you can just pump balls to him and try to knock him down. But yeah, I feel like sometimes we got a little too married to that when, Arthur's up there, even sometimes when, Nick is up there. It's like, all right, well, this guy's huge. Let's, try to play the long ball to him and let him, bring it down. And, I felt like we saw a lot more balls into, like half channels and everything, where Ryan was, drifting up, a little bit, wide left or wide right at different times, whether that's, to provide some extra support, whether that's, be able to, chase balls down. Like, I think it's safe to say he's more mobile than those guys. And we saw direct benefit of that early in the game when he drew the penalty, because that was him chasing.
You're muted.
My fault. I know I messed up. Chandler, I'm going to toss this over to you. Chandler O'Dwyer, we've seen him have moments where we're like, and then we've seen him have moments where it's like, oh, there's something there. There's a reason why Derek keeps playing this guy. What has been the biggest stuff this season so far?
I think we get to this game at a culmination of a realization for me that Chandler plays best as a floater. Because there were so many moments in this game where he just popped up randomly way out of what the lineup said his position was. And just completely destroying any plans the other team had on their back line in terms of securing a back line. There was one situation, I think it was in the first half, where he gets the ball kind of at the top of the D, at the top of the 18, and he literally dribbles laterally through three or four Greenville players heading across to the left side to play in a ball. And it's just when he would just pop up in random locations, he would do damage. So I just saw that he worked well as someone who would just float. And I think that was one of the few things that was an experiment today from Darren, because it looked intentional. It looked very intentional that O'Dwyer on the lineup, it says he's right mid, but he's not. He's everywhere. And he was kind of just floating around wherever the space was, wherever the opportunities were, he'd just pop up there. And I think it worked very well. It worked well. He was really wreaking havoc on that, on Greenville's defense, and really causing them to be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, even so much of this game, I think what he had 5 touches in the opponent's box. So I showed you that he was getting forward, being a threat there, but then also he had what? Won 13 of his aerial duels and had 4 recoveries. So it's like the prototypical everything Darren wants out of a winger. Hustle back on defense, get the ball, get in the box, and try to make something happen. Yeah, I know Kate couldn't be on the show tonight, but Kate made the point that Chandler will be in the Golden Boot race. And I hate to say it, but she's been right so far about it.
I don't know if we're that far, but
it's funny. This game is just all around funny. Another player, a player that I even wrote a personal article about, Justin Succo, got a start out on the left wing. His performance seemed really big as well, creating stuff. Also, like, I don't know if this is the new version of Succo, but he's a very feisty player, like very, very chill. I like him.
I feel like it's always kind of been what he was. He was an energy. Him and Chandler are, I think, two different versions of the same guy. They're energy guys. Succo is a lot more of the, quicker type. Chandler's maybe a little bit more of the physical, energy guy. So, when you don't have maybe the other options available, all right, put them in there, let them try to cause some havoc and. I don't want to say muck up the game because that's not what it looked like at all. But be able to do their thing out there because you figure they probably won't act. They will, even in a bad showing, they wouldn't necessarily actively hurt you out there, and they might cause a little bit of disturbance for somebody else, for the other team.
Yeah, true. Also, in this first half, we had a PK. Neil Vigneault's got a penalty. I know he missed a shot, and I know PKs are normally very automatic. Like, I think the XG on this was like 9.9 or something like that. But what do you think is going in Neil's head as he's taking the PK? What might have led to the miss? Like, do you think it went too close to the goalkeeper, or the goalkeeper just made a good read on it?
Yeah.
I just want to ask you your opinion on it. It just seemed like at that moment, like, it was like, ah. Like, the soccer guys are against us again.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating. It wasn't on PK. He wasn't sure of himself when he went up for it. His run up looked shaky, and it was too close to the middle. And it was easy for the goalkeeper. Garner to get down to it. If you're going to hit it that close to the goalkeeper, it's got to be in an awkward position, which would put him in a situation where he would either have to stretch up to get it. I mean, or it's just too easy for him. And in this situation, if you're going to go close to the goalkeeper, you got to go a little closer than that so it can go under him. But in this situation, it's just way too easy. Way too easy for the goalkeeper to just get down and get to it. And that was the moment, like you said, it just felt like, okay, the soccer gods are against us and we're just not. It's not going to happen.
But I will say this. In that first half, man, it felt like we had so many chances because, like, we won so many duels in that first half. Like, in that half, going towards that goal, creating chances. And it was like nothing just wouldn't hit. I think we had one hit the crossbar. We had,
we had one hit.
We had one? I'm going to say, it just felt like nothing was going to – it felt like we were going to end this game nail-nail, but we were going to have the conversation of missed opportunities. We some way got away with this game in PK. That's what it felt like.
Well, no, I mean, Neil got the one, in the net. You know, got called for offside, which I'll give I don't know. I'll give the refs the benefit of the doubt on that because with football lines, like, how do you miss, the call there?
The way how we look at it, it didn't look like it, but I'm pretty sure if you're looking at it straight, how much does that use it? I wonder. But, yeah. By the way, the jerseys on the field look nice, but with the football lines and the ball, like, I don't know. Y'all sometimes lost the ball, but if it ever went into that, like, that off the sidelines of the football lines, the ball would just disappear. They got to bring out the orange ball for that.
Better
solution if don't play there.
That's why Greenville needed to get down. I think they're still waiting for their own stadium, which that's crazy. you know, they're still waiting to get approval for a stadium down there. But that's a different story for a different day. So yeah, going into the, I'm not missing anything else from the first half, am I? Just want to make sure.
I mean, not a ton. I felt like, Kickers.
No, not really.
Probably the better team. There was another moment or two, like overall, of like, you know, what Shello's brought, but I feel like each of the two games he's played, he's had one or two moments with the ball where it's a little bit adventurous and stress inducing.
Let's take it before we talk, go into that. Let's talk about Shello. Like, so, I mean, they talked about it in the broadcast. This is only his sixth start in his career, right? So, not a lot of experience in game situations. And it's very hard as a goalkeeper because, like, if you're a young player coming to, like, I can throw you experience. I can give you 10 minutes, 15 minutes here, whatever. As a goalkeeper, like, your experience is a full 90. And if there's someone ahead of you that's a starter, it's very hard for you to get experience at all. So, like, I think he's, what, 24, 25 maybe?
20. I think they said 26. I wasn't sure.
Okay. I feel like he's up there. But you would think, like, by now he would have, like, you know, he's still relatively young as a pro goalkeeper. I think we saw a lot of that on today with some of the decision-making. Like, there was a moment or two he got caught on the ball, trying to distribute it. He did – I will say this, though. He made some amazing point-blank saves. Like, yeah, I remember he had one in the second half where he dove, like, at the right moment, like, low save to his left side that he beats off the line. But there was also a few moments where I was like, "Oh, we got lucky there."
Well, I mean, I must say that it was the same on the other side for Garner. He definitely got lucky a few times, or I would say, coming from our standpoint, we got unlucky a few times. But I think both goalkeepers held their own in terms of the performance throughout the game, throughout the 90.
No, it was definitely like this was a good game for the goalkeepers. Like, there was good saves out there. I can't knock it. So moving into the second half, we had there Greenville got their front of the ball. And this is the Greenville side I think we all expected to show up because they really dictated tempo maybe that first 10, 15 minutes or so. How do you think the Kickers will stud that? Because in the past, we've seen the Kickers kind of break down in these moments where the teams are dictating play to them. We saw, like, for instance, the Spokane game, where the team was just dictating play, they're going at you. How big of a confidence boost is this for Richmond to kind of get past this moment and score the first goal, which, by the way, I loved.
Yeah.
Look, it's always going to build confidence when you know, defense plays well. It's a combination of things. I think some of it was like you just mentioned, you know, Shello playing well, you're making some good stops, and maybe a stop or two that are like plus level stops where he had gone in, you've been like, all right, well, can't really hate him for not getting that. Yeah. But I think it was more of a team effort than it, anything else happened there. And you look at the team that was out there. Our two wingers are at their truest selves, holding midfielders or deeper, on the field. So that can be able to provide a little bit of, I think, instinctual support, because they're probably a little more, inclined to drop further back, want to be able to help out on the defensive side of things. But yeah, I mean, for a team that, against actual professionals hasn't done great, defense this year. All the league games have been, two plus goals. It's really the last two cup games, this one and the open game against Loudoun are, the only ones that, almost kept two clean sheets. It was just a last second, corner kick scramble that kept it from being back to back clean sheets.
Yeah. Going into that, well, hold up on that. But the goal came up. Neil Vigneault, which, by the way, had a spectacular little piece of skill. I equated it to – have y'all seen the – I'm pretty sure y'all have. The Dwayne Wade, LeBron James alley-oop? When he was with the Heat?
Yeah. when he was with the Heat?
Yeah. As soon as that goal happened, that's the first thing I thought of. Because, like, Neil had the chip. Like, it's literally a chip over the guy's head that Sarakowski just turns into the back of the net off a header. But it was a night. Yes.
I remember it happening that way.
How do you remember it happening? Because I remember it was a little chip, and then Sarakowski headed it.
I was positive it was Vaughn, but you could be right.
I swear I thought it was Neil. Please tell me it was Neil. Because I definitely tagged Neil in this picture.
No, I think it was Vaughn.
Darn it! I tagged the wrong person. Sorry, Vaughn. Vaughn.
According to our Fight Mob friend, Vaughn got the assist.
Yeah, it was Vaughn.
Again.
Yeah, it was Vaughn.
I've said my piece about Fight Mob already and you know how believable stuff should be there. So
no, because I mean with the footage it's kind of hard to tell, but I to see the name, but I definitely see a number 17 on that flick.
Growing the Instagram photo. Sorry, Vaughn, once again. But yeah, let's talk about the goal. Like, nice piece of skill on this one to see Sarakowski get a well-deserved goal for the work he's been putting in, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did a lot of, you know, good running. He drew that penalty in the first half. He was very active up front. I don't think it's a coincidence that the attack looked better because he was at center forward as opposed, you know, to the other guys that we've been running out there. He just brings a different dynamic, you know, to it, and one that I think fits better, you know, off of guys like Neil, who, I mean, let's be real, this team's offense as of right now goes where Neil Vanials takes it. But that's, you know, I think a little bit more of a dynamic you know, entity in there, especially if you're not going to have Bill Hart or, you know, for most of this game, Joao in there to help out.
Yeah, that really does. Man, the more names you say, the more I just think, like, Richmond's injury bill is pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 1-0 lead. And the funny thing about it is we almost had another moment where I think Sarakowski, because I remember this, almost kind of pulled it off again where he kind of, like, I don't want to say back. He kind of flicked it in the air to himself. He tried to, but it didn't come off. But I imagine if he can get that to come off, like, he might have another chance at goal there. Second half, near the end of the game, Richmond tried to close it. And this is where the hope kills you. Because part of me was like, oh, we can get a nice win here. Like, we can come into Greenville, get a good win. Even granted, it's a cup game. Feel good about ourselves. And then, I think it was a throw-in or a corner kick. With our free kick.
It's corner. Because they had pressure for a little bit, you know, building up to that. And I remember Maxie was able to, you know, clear the ball out for a corner. I don't remember the exact buildup to that moment, yeah. But they've been honest for a good 3-4 minutes at that point.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were just throwing everything forward at that point, where I'm like, there was part of me thinking, like, yo, if we can clear this and have someone pacey up top, then we can score.
that would involve having somebody pacey up top.
Right. But yeah, I mean, we saw this happen. I know there's disappointment there because we gave him that late goal there. But overall, this whole performance as a whole, how do you feel about this performance as a whole from this team, given the, you know, we've talked about the injuries and stuff like that, but given the circumstances?
I think it was solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Shaneer.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that it was a really good performance, but to kind of go over a bit the Greenville
I'll let you go.
Close to the 90th minute goal. I just feel that the one thing that I see that's reoccurring with the kickers season after season is that there is one thing that other teams are doing that we are not, and that's putting our players in the mindset to capitalize on any mistake. And I do feel that a lot of times the kickers will have a fantastic game defensively, and it takes just one slight moment of lack of concentration, or, you know, one player making a small mistake, and it's like almost all the teams in USL League One are trained to capitalize on that one moment. Because when you look at their goal, I looked at a couple of other corner kicks that Greenville had, and the 6-yard box is almost equally occupied by red jerseys. And that's how we're able to keep them out. And this is the one time where there is a giant, like, circular pocket right in front of the goal in the 6-yard box where the goal comes from. Literally, that's where the goal comes from. The ball is headed into that spot off the corner kick. And because there's no one in that space to step in front of the ball, who was it who scored? Lee is able to stick a foot in there to put it in the back of the net. And
hey, according to the league, he scored for Richmond. So technically, it was 2-0.
Wait, what do you mean?
It was a tweet the league made, and they tagged Evan Lee. It was like, Evan Lee scores for Richmond. And me and Matt were both like, it's been a long time since that boy been in red. But it was so funny. But yeah, my fault. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but it's one of those things that's a bit frustrating. And one thing that I've noticed with the way that goal was scored, it's like this is like deja vu. Like almost every team has at least one goal on us like that. One on goal on us that they can say, oh yeah, like the defense was solid. They kept us out the whole game, and they made that one slight mistake, and we capitalized on it.
Were you about to say, Matt?
I was going to say, I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, isn't that just most soccer games?
I mean, I feel that we can never get a break. That one time we make that slight mistake, someone flubs their line. So it's always someone's on it right at that moment, right when we mess up. And I mean, because we've had many situations where the other team makes a sorry mistake and we fluff our lines and someone hits it over the bar or hits it wide or hits it right at the goalkeeper. And I mean, I've seen in other USL League One games the same thing happen, but it's like with us, we cannot catch a break. That one time we make the mistake, for it just so happens that the player it falls to is on point in that moment right then. And I mean, it's very difficult for me to think of a time where we were able to capitalize on a situation like that. So I don't know if that ties into, especially when you look at the last
US Open Cup, a few weeks ago, Chandler, you know, got that goal just because, you know, they passed around like idiots in the back and he took it right off the keeper's foot.
Which is still happening.
Which is what?
Yeah, it might just be, in my case, I'm trying to answer your question, Shanae. Like, it might just be a case of the system in which we play, where it's like, you know, the possession base high up, you pass around enough, someone makes a mistake, and you got guys just sitting there like, oh, mistake, go. Like, you know, press off a heavy touch, something like that. Regardless of what system you play, like, Fort Madison is notorious for giving up corner kicks, right?
Like, yeah, set like pieces. Set pieces there. Like we did, yeah.
By the way, I don't understand how Madison lose that game. Up 2 men.
Yeah. Playing 11v9 and lose. Like, that's a special
that's
level.
Beside the point. That's beside the point. Yeah. So, look, I put it out there. I wanted to ask a couple of questions to the fans. One of the questions was based on, you know, we have the Jägermeister Cup and we have league games, mixing out between the two. Do you think Darren's going to lead to having an A squad for the leagues and an A squad for the cup matchups? Or do you think it'll be kind of balanced between the two?
I mean, other than the keeper, what's the
difference? I think it's going to depend. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it depends on the situation, the schedule at the time, but I think Shello is going to be our cup keeper. Like you had said earlier on the pod today, Matt, he's going to be our cup keeper, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if everybody miraculously gets healthy at the same time, you can do a little bit more rotation. But I mean, the thing is with this, it's not like the Open Cup games where they're, you know, crammed in the middle of the week. So they're random weekend games. Like, we're back in the league this week, but then the next week's another, you know, Jaeger game. And then, you know, it kind of goes back and forth. So I don't think there's a massive need for it, at least right now. But yeah, we'll see.
I think in the Jaeger games, I'm comfortable with being a little bit more experimental, if that makes sense. Like, if I don't know what's going on with Landon Johnson, but if he gets help, if I'm assuming there's an injury, if he's healthy, give him a start, right? Like, I feel like the Cup games are where you can toss it to injury guys and it doesn't hurt you as much as so the league game. Because I feel like in the league, like, granted, 8 teams get in and we're right below it. Like, we're right below that playoff spot. So it might be a little bit harder to be like, all right, let's throw a Nathan Ani back here, our guy, right? Versus a Cup game where you're like, all right, you know, we're Cup game 3, 4. Let's throw a guy there. Let's throw Ani out there. Let's throw Emmy and see how they do, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it may be. And it doesn't hurt you as much versus a league game, if that makes sense. But, yeah, I do agree with you. I think Shallow should be, like, the Jägermeister Cup should be his going forward. Give it to him.
So, is it this to make it a little more spicy, is there any point where you might consider, oh, do we move Shallow into just GK1 overall?
Ah, that is a great, because that's actually another question on Axis. I will hold off on it. I need to see Shallow be a little bit more composed in distribution. But if he does that, then I don't mind it. I don't mind this. What about
y'all? Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I want to see a little more composure with the ball at his feet. But in terms of shot stopping and keeping the ball, I just see Shallow as the better shot stopper. He also seems to be a little more confident on set pieces in terms of coming out to get the ball, like on corner kicks, long throws, wide free kicks. He seems to be more comfortable coming out to claim than he seems to be more comfortable doing that than Pablo is. With that being said, it's a very close call for me at this point right now, but if he continues in this vein of improvement, it's only a matter of time before he takes that number one spot.
I figure if I put it out there, I should give my own answer, you know, too, rather than, you know, just kind of slide away from that. Sample size right now. You what?
I said, you can always slide away from the question. I do it a bunch of times, y'all.
I think a sample size right now, two games. Like, granted, if you told me a month and a half ago we'd even have this conversation, I'd figure either things are going horrifically, horrifically wrong, or somebody got hurt. Because I just figured he was getting signed to basically be like any of the other backup goalkeepers, you know, pre-Palmquist last year. Have this nice sheet over here. Yeah, you'll get your jersey. You know, be able to, you know, frame. After the season, I really thought that's all it was going to be. So he's already far exceeding my expectations. So I'm not ready to, you know, like, pull the cord yet. You know, on Pablo, but like I said, I mean, defense hasn't been great in the league games. Two games, you know, Ryan's had. I mean, we're 2 minutes away from, you know, two clean sheets there against probably the two best teams we played.
Yeah. Just to give you the numbers for this game, he had 3 saves, 2 diving saves, 3 saves. Well, 3, of course, 3 saves inside the box. 2 high claims, 11 recoveries. So this is the thing about his distribution, though. 13 of 23, 57% on long balls. You know, so about a little bit better than half. You know, where Pablo averages right around like 63%. So
that's right. What one extra pass that Pablo hits the game up?
Yeah. Yeah. So like Pablo's distribution is at like, yeah, total is like 75% of the year. So like, it will. This is the funny thing. His long ball accuracy is at a 43%. So I don't know. Like, I mean, look, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, if Shadow shows you around game four that he's capable of being a goalkeeper one, give him a game. Depending on where the league is at that point.
Yeah. I mean, if we see, because the next one's away at Chattanooga. If we get another good showing there, then I think you can start to have a real conversation.
If he has a masterclass performance at Chattanooga, start that boy. That place has been a house of horrors for us. If he goes there and has a great dominating performance, and we get a clean sheet, start that boy. I don't care. Pablo can sit for two games.
Yeah, it's one of those things because it kind of reminds me. If he goes on a streak of great performances, yeah, start him. Because it kind of reminds me, today I had one of the teams that I coach had a game, and in the game, my team won a penalty kick. And I've had the same kid taking the penalties, and one of the kids on the bench asked, he's like, so is Zach our penalty taker? I'm like, he hasn't missed. He's not going to be, until further notice, he's our PK taker. If he's hot, he's hot. Keep him on. You know, if my PK taker is hot, he's going to take the next PK until he's not hot anymore. And in this situation, if Shallow is going to go game after game showing these types of performances, you've got to give him that spot. If he doesn't get that spot, I have questions.
Right. It's just so weird because now we went from Akira, who I would say was like, as a goalkeeper, very conservative, right? Like, you didn't see Akira go way off his line like that, like, nagging himself in risk-averse situations. Even, like, O'Corners, like, he would stay more so on his line. And now we have two very ultra-aggressive goalkeepers. It is a complete 180. Like, I remember one time, Pablo had the ball almost out to, like, the half, and I was like, dog, you do realize you're a goalkeeper, not a midfielder, right? Yeah, it was funny. So, penalties, game goes to penalties and whatnot. We saw Boshua come in. I had Boshua in my five taking a PK. Who do y'all guys think should have taken the PK? Or were you cool with the lineup that he had?
I mean, that's not who I guessed it was. I got two of them right. But clearly those five should have been taking them. because I don't think anyone were even close to getting saved, if I remember.
No, none were. Yeah. If I remember correctly, I think it was Neil, Simon, Zaka,
Jao,
and
Chandler.
There we go. Yeah. Also, I just realized, let me ask y'all, did y'all realize Zaka was left footed?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really thought about it.
It had just dawned on me. Like, it literally just dawned on me that
both and Charlotte scored with his right foot.
I don't know.
Yeah. He walked up and I was like, Saka, you're not left footed. Like, why are you running on that way?
Maybe that's his shooting foot and, his slide tackling foot is his right foot.
By the way, the tackle he had in this game that just got the yellow card, it was funny because Ross was just like, yeah, that's his Zaka special. It was 100%. Everyone knew it was like, oh, yeah, that's 100% a Zaka tackle. It didn't even matter. So Richmond goes on to win this game in PK. Shallow had probably the easiest save of his life. Like, the guy walking up to it, I feel bad for him. Wasn't that bad that he missed it.
But I do not feel bad for him.
I don't either.
He looks so – you can just tell when someone looks so nervous where they're like, I don't want this, but I have to take it.
He did not. Did you look nervous or did you just see a ginger and assumed, eh?
Like, it was just like, oh, he does not want to take this. And it just goes straight into Ryan's hands. I'm like, oh, that is an easy save, Ryan. Like, once that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, we got this. Because I didn't think we were missing another PK. Which, by the way, Neil taking the first PK, I'm not going to lie, I loved it. Like, they'll have the confidence going in the opposite direction and taking it again. It felt great. Again, that is confidence back, but yeah. And by the way, the conversation we had before this, so a couple of people were talking about it on the internet, and we were talking about before the show, so we're going to bring it here. Do you consider this a win or loss? By the way, listeners, let us know. Like, do you consider this a win?
I guess technically in the rules set up for this specific cup competition, it is, but it's also not a full win. Yeah, because it's a 2-point win, not a 3-point win.
It feels like class participation points.
Well, no, that's what Greenville got.
But that's the thing. Like, okay, for this sake, let's just say the shootout was flipped. Hey, if we lost, do we consider this a loss? Because technically, you got a point from it.
Well, no. I mean, the shootout didn't go our way. We were talking about, hey, we went down there and got a draw out of them.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels weird because it's like to be like, oh, we got to win, but it's 2 points. It's not three. Jeanette, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like I was saying before we started recording, I just feel that it's one of those situations where, as a team, we looked so much more cohesive than we have in a while. Yeah. That's how come I view it, as it could feel like a win.
The point is made it feel like a win. I get that.
So I've looked it up on your good friend FotMob. You know, not sponsor us. You want to sponsor us because saying your name a lot, holler. They've listed down as a draw in the standings.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's a format, some system format situation.
Yeah. All right.
It feels weird.
Give me a second. Let me look this up on the website.
This is weird. This is the investigative journalism that you listeners donate to. Which, by the way,
it still says 2 points, though. Like, it's a draw, but it still says we have 2 points. Greenville has one. And I think Charlotte had a similar situation. Yeah, with they had a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't think the league could have asked for a better opening night with Spokane and Central Valley Fuego going to PKs. We're going to PKs. One Knox holding on against Chattanooga. 4 Madison crapping the bed against Lexington. And Charlotte and Tormenta going to PKs.
I mean, I think they probably would have liked a little bit more, a few more goals.
Well, yeah, that whole the most goals scored theory has just gone out the window.
Yeah, nobody scored more than one.
Nobody
scored more. Yeah, everyone scored one. It's like the goal differential is at zero for everybody.
Like, Richmond Bunker, like, can't try to bunker, didn't work. Charlotte tried to bunker, didn't work. Warlock's bunker worked.
So Hot Mod's at least better than the actual USL League One website.
Oh, that's trash.
They've got to work on that. But at this point, we're only in second place because of the alphabet. Like, to be honest with you.
No, it's worse than you can imagine. Yeah, because in our group, we're currently in fourth place. Yeah, because they only gave us credit for 1 point. You know, for a draw. The league, you know, crafted up their own special cup, trying to rip off the World Cup and try to pass it off as like an FA Cup style sort of thing too. At the same time, can't even program their own website right to be able to showcase their special
all so confusing.
Yeah,
it is. It really is.
This backs up why, you know, I've maintained this is a Mickey Mouse, you know, nothing competition. If the league can't be bothered to, you know, take it up seriously, you know, with their own media around it, why should we care? Why should we take it seriously?
Yeah, that was kind of surprising, though, how the league took a while to, like, sponsor this cup. Like, I even tweeted out that. I was like, is it just me? Or does it feel like the league hasn't said anything about Jägermeister Cup? And the games are coming up this week. Like, it took a while. It took a while. But, yeah, no. It was kind of funny. Yeah, no, it's just interesting. Also, I will say this, though. I rather, because this is another conference that popped up on social media last night, like how games go to PKs and whatnot, you kind of, I guess, split or share the points. It's the hockey model. I personally would rather see this in cup and group style competitions like this versus in league play, like how MLS Next Pro does. How do y'all feel about that?
I'm fine with it because, again, yeah. this is a gimmick anyway, so gimmick it up.
Yeah, no. I do hate the fact that Greenville had like a Jaeger. It had a pre-planned celebration. The Jaeger bottle just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, I don't want to hear them ever talk. Try to talk mess at Madison anymore. You're purposely planning out memes for celebrations.
Yeah,
like you are okay. Maybe not just as bad. You're very close to being as bad, in that regard. and then Jamie Smith, tried to go up and try to start some mess after the penalties.
He is slowly becoming the villain of the league. Because he loves a good Rallo. He loves Rallo and somebody else. I miss what happened, but I know there were some.
Now that daddy's in the U.S. and, he knows if he gets suspended, he just go crash on the couch, up the road in, Charlotte and blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, this dude's not even good enough, to be able to, get a nepotism spot on an MLS team.
So dad was like, hey, son, I love you, but no. Stay down there.
Adrian Heath, he kept his garbage-ass kid around, for years on Orlando and Minnesota. Like,
even Phil Neville's son is in, the Portland Timber Sioux system.
Yeah, he randomly happened into, there, after, Miami. Like,
It's funny, though. It's funny. So Richmond gets a win here. So we move on from that. Next week, we got One Knox coming up. Before we get to One Knox, Richmond Ivy just dropped their white jerseys. How y'all guys feel about those? The new white kit. So what is it called? Climb Everything? Something? I don't know. It had a gimmicky name to it. But it looked nice.
Yeah, it looks
fine. Looks nice. What jersey would y'all probably get? The green or the white one?
Green for me. I normally don't wear green, but I like it. I like the green kit. It's really, really nice.
This might be my first white kit ever. I don't buy white. I'm thinking about it. Matt, you're the kit master of us. Yeah, I think you have a jersey from every year, right?
Not every year. I mean, I have more than maybe a sane person should.
What's the latest jersey you have? What's the oldest one you have?
What is it? I think I lost one because I know I had like a 02 blue one at one point, but I haven't seen that in years. So I probably lost that moving at some time in life. So it's probably a 04.
Wow, yeah, that's a throwback. I think I was in middle school then. Yeah, that's a throwback.
That's rude. Okay.
My bad. All right. Oh, yeah. So,
I think
the white kid jersey looks nice, though. I like the orange stripe in the middle with the vines coming up through.
With the vines coming up. Yeah, that has a very, very nice look about it. That's a hard decision for me. I think I would still go with the green one, but that white kid is pretty tough.
It's the best white jersey this organization has done in years. Outside of the bottle pop jersey. That's still my favorite. I'm so mad I didn't buy that one. I'm so mad, man. If I can find someone that has a 2X in that jersey, I will pay for it. If I can find
that might be the sizing might be the tough part. It might just be a frame.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. maybe so. So yeah, so besides that, we got one Ducks coming up on the weekend, right?
No, Friday.
Oh yeah, Friday. That's right.
Yeah, it's a Friday. We got a Friday game.
Yeah, Friday, what, 7? Yeah. So I think games now are gonna start kicking off around 7 instead of 6. Yeah, we got an old friend coming back. Well, two old friends, Stuart Ritchie and Jalen Chrysler. First of all, let's start off with this. How does Darren line up for this game? Do you think Guy gets a start coming in for Chris Cole, or do you think Chris Cole stays at center back?
I think it's going to be the choice of the same 12 or 13 guys that we saw today, assuming nobody comes back, you know, from injury. I think that's more likely of where somebody going to insert themselves. If, you know, Dakota or Adrian or anyone else suddenly back. Otherwise, I think we're running with the, you know, the same group, because, you know, even in that game, what do you make? The Jow sub, and then what, Arthur, like at the very, very bitter end?
Yeah, he didn't really have a lot of subs he pulled out.
Yeah, I mean, well, he had the full bench, you know, for 7, but he didn't use him. And that's not the first time, you know, we've seen that recently where he's, you know, stuck with, you know, what's on the field.
Yeah. Which is very different than years past where we were like, oh, he's just subbing everyone out. I mean, granted, because of the injuries. I keep derailing us. Let me just get focused. All right, so we have that issue. We have that figured out. How do you think the rest of the team lines up? Like, I'm assuming we got Neil, we got Zaka. Sarakowski, does he go back to striker, or do we see Boswell coming back? Has Chandler done enough to get another starting right wing? What about Suko? How do we feel about those positions?
My question is, how do we feel about Boswell playing up top and Neil dropping into the midfield too with Zaka? And playing more like a dime.
Oh.
The two central-ish midfielders.
So 4-4-2?
And played basically a diamond 4-4-2.
Where Neil
would be top of the diamond and Zaka would be your six, your protector for the back line as usual. And if that's the case, we know how much Fitch likes to get involved with the attack. That would give Chandler license to float the way where he looks best. Then you still have Sarakowski playing centrally up front.
I thought Arthur was playing central up front in this scenario.
No, I'm saying
I'm very confused with what you're trying to put out there.
This a 4-4-2 diamond with Boswa and Sarakowski up top.
But you just said Chandler.
Big man, fast man.
No, I think he's saying Chandler in the midfield so he can float.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chandler would be – no, so Chandler would be on that wing, but because Simon Fitch does like to get involved with the attack as a fullback, that would give Chandler the license to float around.
Because
you would have Fitch stepping up into that position as much as he often does.
Two dynamic enough fullbacks. Like, Fitch likes to get up and down. Maxi, I feel like after a while he'll be like,
"It's fine." Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine because on that side, Sukal can stay left, and which would allow Maxi to stay back. But because of the fact that Chandler will be floating in, you can have Simon Fitch float, like drift up the field to kind of cover that space. When Chandler does float around the field,
and Zaka would have to give an island, like by himself, because I like Vaughn being right beside him, because it kind of plugs up the middle.
True,
a little bit.
Also, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not.
Because yeah, always,
if he's not switching up for 4-3-3, you know, with that group, I mean, and again, it worked well. Saturday.
Yeah, you're this dude. Darren,
yeah.
I don't know what got pops. We'll pull it out of your head, sir, but it's working.
Yeah, but if that availability didn't switch it up, it's not going to get switched up. Like,
Yeah.
Don't, that's like, at this point, given, once again, we'll say it again, like, with the injuries that we have, if it's not broke, like, you don't got to worry about fixing.
Yeah. Maybe we don't use
it. Yeah, we don't need to try and be too much. That broke. Yeah, I'm too.
So we don't know now if he's hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I swear, these guys need insurance. Which, by the way, I don't know who the insurance provider is for the kickers. We got to look into this. Like, I imagine Derek getting the injury report on Monday on his desk, just like, another one?
Yeah. But you know what? One thing that I do feel is that it probably is better that these injuries are front heavy, like at the beginning of the season, rather than coming into a situation where we're fighting for a spot and that's when guys are dropping. Yeah. I would rather this than
2021 or 2020, like Tsitsipas got hurt down the stretch.
20,
yeah,
and that happened. And I think some other guys got hurt and were just like, "Oh, we are limping into this game against Chattanooga."
Exactly.
Matter of fact, let's talk tactically, because we don't know how this line is going to be. How do you think Derek goes at One Knox? We know One Knox; they kind of like to play a back three. Whatnot. We assume it's Stewart. Richie's going to play. I think he played in the last game, so we know how he likes to play. They've only given up 2 goals so far this year. So how do you think Darren attacks it? Like, does he kind of go out the same way how he did against Greenville?
I mean, I think, again, he has the identity, you know, kind of established what he wants, you know, the team to be, you know, a little bit more, you know, possession, you know, focused. I wouldn't be surprised if Knoxville's a team that's happy to let us take the ball.
Yeah.
You know, go from there. It's going to be a lot of the same stuff we've seen from the other games.
Yeah. Is there anything in like the first 15 or 20 minutes that's going to give you a good indicator like, all right, Rich was doing well?
I think it's going to be
kind of
defensive stability. You know, early on, because Knoxville's not, or at least so far this year, it's still relatively early. They're not a, you know, blow you out, you know, sort of team, but they've also got guys who are willing to, you know, rip from distance. So, you know, it's maybe going to be a little bit different than, you know, some of the classic kickers defense of, hey, we're going to try to plug everything up. If you want, you know, try to drill it from 25, 30, have at it. Yeah. I still don't think that's a bad plan, but. And there's a little bit more proven danger with Knoxville. So I think just, you know, what kind of chances is Knoxville, you know, generating, you know, looking at early on? I think that's going to give us an indicator of, you know, is it going to be a good night? It's going to be a long night.
Yeah. In the last 2 times we've played Knoxville, there have been draws. So, and I think we were the reason Knoxville missed out on the playoffs. We put the final nail on the coffin for Knoxville. Playoffs just last year. Also last year, funny enough, both of these games ended 2-2. So there's a chance you might see it here. Guys, any last things before we wrap up the podcast?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'd say come out to the game. Come out to the game. It's a Friday afternoon, you know. Most people aren't working on Saturday, hopefully. And so just come and have a good Friday evening at City Stadium.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway is that let's not get over our skis about Saturday because it's Paladin Stadium. It's easy to get a result out of there. And I don't understand all these other, you know, scrub teams that lose there all the time when they, you know, go play Greenville. Never lost there. You know, so, I mean, woohoo. We got a good result. But, you know, soft-ass team, soft-ass stadium, you know.
We have seen
some real results.
There. Who was it? Belmar scored there. Luke scored there.
Ani
scored there.
Ani scored.
Yeah. How is this hard for other teams?
I don't know, man. We just make it look easy. That's the great thing about it.
Furman Kings. You know, Gabe Cox going down there, you know, had to show all South Carolina, you know, kids how it's done.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was dope. Shout out to Gabe. He got to hang out with his freshman teammates, which gave me the nail, gave me the sign that, oh, yeah, he's going to college. He's going to college. So, yeah, man. So, with that being said, what am I about to say? So, with that being said, yeah, one knocks on Friday night. Hopefully get a win there, and then we'll turn it over for the Jägermeister Cup. And I think, what, next weekend is also the first game for the women's too, right?
Yeah, they overlap.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We should be planning to do a preview of the women's team, so be on the lookout for that. That should be fun. And, yeah, so I think with that being said, for Matt Schneider, myself, I just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to the podcast, because without you, we couldn't do this. And make sure to go give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. Like I said, we're trying to get to 50 by June 1st. So I think we're like 6 followers away. So make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And be on the lookout for our women's podcast that will be coming soon. So with that being said, for the crew, we will holler at you guys next week. And as always, up the roofs, and be easy and be safe. Holler.